My next guest, the executive director of the reform group Fix Forfeiture. The website is fixforfeiture.org. And Holly Harris is joining us to talk about what's potentially about to happen here in Michigan, a change in our own civil forfeiture laws. Holly, great to have you here.
Yeah, it's great talking to you. I was listening to your previous conversation about all of the chaos on the Hill, and it's great to see in Michigan and at the federal level that we've been able to sort of cut through a lot of the partisan gridlock and move a lot of these important criminal justice reforms, including civil asset forfeiture reform.
Well, I'm curious, what got you involved in this issue? I guess most people probably have never been touched by it, but how did you get involved?
You know, it's interesting. I've always worked in partisan politics. I have a background in conservative Republican politics. I'm from Kentucky. And when this opportunity came up, you know, I was told about civil asset forfeiture, and I'm a lawyer. I've practiced for more than a decade, and I had no idea that this practice was going on. I mean, most people don't know what civil asset forfeiture is, and it's basically a program through which law enforcement can seize and forfeit your property even if you've never even been charged with a crime.
And so, I mean, how to work?
It really does need reform.
Like, what kind of an arrest would lead to your property being seized?
Well, all law enforcement has to show is that, you know, there's probable cause that either you or your property has somehow been involved in the commission of a crime. So, you know, there was a pretty outrageous case in Michigan that was, it was called the Cade Raid, where there was an art festival, there was a party, and law enforcement seized dozens of vehicles. And a lot of these individuals who were the owners of these vehicles didn't have the money to get their cars back. They were never charged with a crime, but because their vehicles were on the street, it was considered a public nuisance. And there was one individual who's a librarian who couldn't pay the nearly $1,000 fine to get her car back, even though, again, she was never charged with any wrongdoing, and she went without her car for 10 months.
So, your car can be seized over something like being a public nuisance? That's the grounds that it can be seized on?
Absolutely. And there's really no proportionality to this. I mean, you know, there is, you know, case after case of abuse of the system. You know, there was an individual who was a retired carpenter, disabled veteran, cancer patient, who had a legal medical marijuana license, and law enforcement, you know, kicked in his door, you know, took his TV, took his cell phone, took his car. You know, again, and all of this was over, you know, like a few pot plants. And so there's really no proportionality to this. Law enforcement, of course, was trying to take his home as well. There really are a lot of outrageous cases.
This bill, though, what it does, if the governor signs it, it'll change the law so enforcement agencies would have to provide, quote, clear and convincing evidence before they can seize items. I mean, what's the real significance of a change like that?
Well, it's clear and convincing. It raises the burden of proof that the government has to meet before they can forfeit your property. So currently, it's just a preponderance of the evidence, so like the average civil case. But again, because the government is, you know, seizing and forfeiting your property, which, you know, is a constitutional issue, really, you know, we think it's important that there are, you know, better due process protections in place. And so by raising the burden of proof to clear and convincing evidence, of course, you know, that raises the burden that the government has to meet in order to forfeit your property.
Okay.
These reforms also provide a lot more transparency. They're going to require reporting for law enforcement agencies across the board. One of the great challenges that we have in Michigan is that there's no data. So we don't know exactly how much property is being seized, who's seizing it, and whether these seizures are ever connected to a criminal conviction.
Well, this
is going to be better transparency.
In 2013 here in Michigan, about $24 million or so were seized. That's according to data from the Michigan State Police. But what, you're saying the local police departments, do they keep records themselves, or is it that they're not sharing it with anybody? What is that?
Well, again, there's inaccurate reporting data. A lot of the data that we get, we actually get through some very enterprising reporting from, you know, investigative reporters, you know, there in Michigan. But, you know, one of the great challenges we've had in moving forward with a lot of these reforms is most legislators want, you know, data-driven reforms. And right now in Michigan, again, you know, we know that millions and millions of dollars worth of property, you know, seized every year, but we just don't know how much of that is connected to a criminal conviction.
One last thing, Holly. So in the end, though, you can have your property seized on whatever grounds, even if it's clear and convincing evidence, and you can end up maybe even being charged or acquitted, let's say, and you never get your items back. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. Currently in Michigan, the burden is on you to hire a lawyer, go to court, and prove your property is innocent of wrongdoing. So it's really an affront to everything our criminal justice system is supposed to stand for.
Yeah. And now, should that be not, I mean, do you think someone should have to be convicted before?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. And the package that just passed in Michigan, and we believe that the governor is going to sign, does not yet require a criminal conviction. And so, you know, our goal is to move forward with the data that we're able to get from this transparency bill and move Michigan forward next year to pushing this program post-conviction so that innocent property owners are not entangled in this process.
I mean, are there states where that is the case already, where you have to be convicted before they can just take your things?
Absolutely. New Mexico is really the gold standard. Not only has New Mexico pushed this entire program post-conviction, mm-hmm. But they've also removed the direct profit incentive from law enforcement. So, you know, a lot of people feel like because law enforcement can directly profit from the assets that they seize, that this is an inherent conflict of interest and leads to inappropriate and overly zealous seizures. And so, you know, that's another concern of our organization. And New Mexico absolutely removed that direct profit incentive. We have two other states that we're working in this year, Ohio and Pennsylvania, and both of those legislative packages there move the program post-conviction. And that's really the most important goal of our organization.
Right. I'm guessing some police departments may not like that, but certainly citizens would prefer it. Holly Harris, executive director of the reform group FixForfeiture.org. Holly, thanks.
Thank you so much.